following program is intended for mature audiences.
Good evening, everybody. This is Sal Manila with the news. With prolonged periods of decreasing revenue, the McDonald's Corporation frantically scrambles to see if it can regain their old allure. In desperation, they have introduced kale into their menu. Wanting to keep in line with how they name their menu items, like McNuggets and McFries and McShakes, they will call the vegetable McKale. Nutritionists and health enthusiasts hope that McKale's too little too late attempt at healthy nutrition, like the canceled old TV show McKale's Navy, will sink the McDonald's ship once and for all. After all, say the health conscious, they've been pirating our pockets with addictive foods for too many decades. Intelligence authorities, expert in the affairs of North Korea, have confirmed leader Kim Jong-un's assassination of 15 top-ranking North Korean military officials. The most spectacular was the cutting down of that nation's defense minister, Hyun Young-chol, in public. Mr. Hyun, fresh out of five-hour energy drinks, recently fell asleep while Kim was giving a speech in public. Kim waited for another public gathering where he ordered the military to shoot Hyun Young-chol viciously and repeatedly with anti-aircraft machine guns, which ironically woke up the crowd of onlookers while assuring the sleep-deprived general would get all the sleep he'd ever need. Social psychologists express concern with Kim Jong-un's mental state and suggest the nation is now extremely unstable. However, TV producers at CBS have confirmed that Kim has pitched them an idea for the Survivor Gangnam Style. The concept, they say, would feature Kim's closest advisors trying to dissuade the young dictator from irrational international folly, only to be murdered in spectacular fashion one by one in public settings. CBS thinks Kim's recent rash of public assassinations is simply the leader's version of a demo reel for the proposed show. We asked CBS what they thought of Kim's actions so far, and they said, quote, "The public murders are indeed spectacular. In terms of audience appeal, we especially like Kim's execution," end quote. CBS has confirmed, too, that not-to-be-outdone South Korea has proposed their own version of the show called Soul Survivor. This has been Sal Manila with Savino Veritas News.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
We're ready. We're ready. Yeah, we're ready. 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 We're ready. We're ready. Yeah, we're ready. 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 Ready.
We're ready for the road.
And make believe. It's Savino Veritas. Featuring host, writer, humorist, experiential mystic, raconteur, and parallel parking expert, Tom Savino. Now, here he is with Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth, Tom Savino.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Savino Veritas on this Thursday, May the 14th, 2015, coming to you live from Burbank, California, from Lion's Den Studios. We're not soundproofed, we're not foolproof, but we are 90 proof.
People are fucking dumb. You can say what you want about this country, and I love this place. I love the freedoms we used to have. I love it. I love that. Yeah. I love it when it didn't take a fucking catastrophe to get us to care for one another. I love the fact that we're on camera all the time from all angles. But you know what? You can say what you want about America. And I say I love this place. I wouldn't have it any other way. Wouldn't live in any other time in history in any other place. But say what you want about America, land of the free, home of the brave. We got some dumbass motherfuckers floating around this country. Dumbass motherfuckers. You know? Yeah. Now, obviously, that doesn't include this audience. I understand that. You seem intelligent and perceptive, but the rest of them, holy jumping fucking shitballs. Dumber than a second coat of paint. And this ain't just ranting and raving. This ain't just blowing off steam. I got a little evidence to support my claim. It just seems to me, that only a really low IQ population could have taken this beautiful continent, this magnificent American landscape that we inherited. Well, actually, we stole it from the Mexicans and the Indians, but hey, it was nice when we stole it. It looked pretty good. It was pristine. Paradise. Have you seen it lately? Have you taken a good look at it lately? It's fucking embarrassing. Only a nation of unenlightened half-wits could have taken this beautiful place and turned it into what it is today, a shopping mall. A big fucking shopping mall. You know that? That's all you got. That's all you've got here, folks. Mile after mile of mall after mall. Many, many malls. Major malls and mini malls. They put the mini malls in between the major malls. And in between the mini malls, they put the mini marts. And in between the mini marts, you got the car lots, gas stations, muffler shops, laundromats, cheap hotels, fast food joints, strip clubs, and dirty bookstores. America the Beautiful. One big transcontinental commercial cesspool. And how do the people feel about all this? How do the people feel about living in a coast-to-coast shopping mall? Well, they think it's just fucking dandy. They think it is cool as can be because Americans love the mall. They love the mall. That's where they get to satisfy their two most prominent addictions at the same time, shopping and eating. Millions of semi-conscious Americans day after day shuffling through the malls, shopping and eating, especially eating. Americans love to eat. They are fatally attracted to the slow death of fast food. Hot dogs, corn dogs, triple bacon cheeseburgers, deep fried butter dipped in pork fat and cheese whiz, mayonnaise soaked barbecued mozzarella patty melts. Americans will eat anything. If you were selling sauteed raccoons' assholes on a stick, Americans would buy them and eat them, especially if you dipped them in butter and put a little salsa on them. This country is big time, pig time. Forget the bald eagle. You know what the national emblem of this country ought to be? A big bowl of macaroni and cheese. A big bowl, because everything in this country is king size. King size, extra large, and super jumbo, especially the fucking people. Have you seen some of the people in this country? Have you taken a good look at some of these big, fat motherfuckers walking around? Big, fat motherfuckers. Oh, my God. Huge piles of redundant protoplasm lumbering through the malls like a fleet of interstate buses. The people in this country are immense. Massive bellies, monstrous thighs, and big, fat fucking asses. And if you stand there for a minute and you look at one of them, you begin to wonder, how does this woman take a shit? How does she shit? And even more frightening, how does she wipe her ass? Can she even locate her asshole? She must require assistance. Are paramedics trained in this field? And standing right next to her, of course, with a plate full of nachos and a mouthful of pie, is her clueless fucking husband, Joe Sixpack. With his monstrous swollen beer belly hanging dangerously out over his belt, beer belt buckle, this guy ain't seen his dick since the Nixon administration. And if you stand there and you look at the two of them, you begin to wonder to yourself, do these people fuck? Is this man actually capable of fucking this woman? It doesn't seem structurally possible that these two people could achieve penetration. Maybe they're in that Cirque du Soleil or something. I'm telling you, the people in this country are every one of them is 50 pounds overweight. They are gargantuan. And in the summertime, God help us, in the summertime, they all want to wear short pants. Jesus, Lord, protector of all that is good and holy, deliver me from fat people in short pants. They all got short pants, big bellies, fat thighs, and dumb kids. Short pants, big bellies, fat thighs, and dumb kids. Every one of them's got two dumbass kids with them. And the whole family is wearing T-shirts, and every one of them's got the same T-shirt. I'm with stupid. Apparently, in this country, the stupids are an extended family. And besides wearing them T-shirts, everyone in the family's got on a backpack. They got a backpack strapped to their back so they can carry around lots of stupid shit. And the reason they got to carry their stupid shit strapped to their backs is because their hands must remain free at all times to hold food. And to get that food up to the mouth where it gets shoveled in with all the rest of the disgusting shit they ate that day. And another reason for the backpacks is these people are going to buy even more stupid shit. They ain't got enough stupid shit at home. They just had a stupid shit sale. They're going to buy more. They're going to go out in the parking lot and stuff this stuff into the big, fat, ugly, oversized SUV that's got plenty of room in it. Plenty of room in it for stupid shit and lots of room left over for these big, fat, ugly motherfuckers to get them home. Stopping, of course, for jelly roll and fried dough. These people are efficient, professional, compulsive consumers. They think of that as their national pride. It's their civic duty, consumption. It's the new national pastime. Fuck baseball. It's consumption. The only true, lasting American value that's left, buying things. People spending money they don't have on things they don't need. Money they don't have on things they don't need so they can max out their credit cards and spend the rest of their lives paying 18% interest on something that costs $12.50. And they didn't like it when they got it home anyway. Not too bright, folks. Not too fucking bright. But if you talk to one of them about this, if you isolate one of them, you sit them down rationally and you talk to them about the low IQs and the dumb behavior and the bad decisions, right away they start talking about education. That's the big answer to everything. Education. They said, we need more money for education. We need more books, more teachers, more classrooms, more schools. We need more testing for the kids. You say to them, well, you know, we've tried all of that and the kids still can't pass the test. They say, oh, don't you worry about that. We're going to lower the passing grades. And that's what they do in a lot of these schools now. They lower the passing grades so more kids can pass. More kids pass, the school looks good, everybody's happy, the IQ of the country slips another 2 or 3 points, and pretty soon all you'll need to get into college is a fucking pencil. Got a pencil? Get the fuck in there. It's physics. Then everyone wonders why 17 other countries graduate more scientists than we do. Education. Politicians know that word. They use it on you. Politicians have traditionally hidden behind three things. The flag, the Bible, and children. No child left behind. No child left behind. Oh, really? Well, it wasn't long ago you were talking about giving kids a head start. Head start, left behind. Someone's losing fucking ground here.
Record it now. Is it recording?
Oh, yeah.
McDonald's freestyle, take one.
Come on, take order.
Just 1 second, please.
What am I ready?
All right, thank you. I really want a cheesy McDouble, but I'm lactose intolerant, so cheese means trouble. My hungry stomach's empty, just like a bubble. I wanna fill it with cheap food, but not just rubble or rubbish. My tummy's rumbling, so I rub it. I try so hard, but I cannot rise above it. I'm loving it, and I know that you love to see me smile. I'm sorry I take so long, I know it's been a while. I lay my order down just like flooring tile, so I reach to the console and count my change pile. Nothing in my stomach but some acid and some bile. If you can't hear my music, let me turn up the dial. I'm eyeing number two, maybe fries too. But I'm a dollar menu, dude, I'm not trying to be rude. I don't want to bite off more than I can choose. I'm stingy with my money like a Jew. I meant I chew, don't blame. to sneeze. I'm just messing. Can I have a large sweet tea, please?
Yes, you get a small crop with that tea.
How about an unsweet tea and seven equals, and that'll be fine.
Okay, well, I'm not pregnant.
Thank you so much.
Hell yeah, bro. Hell yes.
Officially, that is, since she's been selling coffee mugs and wool ski masks for over a year now. Now that it's official, she has, of course, a Clinton 2016 logo. Like all good logos, the Clinton 2016 image is crisp, clear, and simple. Above all, its intent is to help her garner in the presidential election at least one vote above all. As a liberal lefty commie hippie bastard, of course, I want a leader with much higher marks. My preference for a candidate with more integrity, who is less swayed by America's corporados and genuinely concerned with the well-being of the average American of all stripes and colors, would be Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. I suspect I could file that desire among the many in the category of preferences that would include me being one among three in a wild night of debauchery, with the other two willing participants being Zoe Saldana and Scarlett Johansson. I'd swipe that wild idea with a more realistic chance to bust the three with Elizabeth and Bernie instead. It would help loosen their shared, sometimes austere image, wrangle support among the bisexual base and the base bisexuals, and could help me rid my obsession with Zoe and Scarlett. However, Fox so-called news would undoubtedly break the story and beat it to death, framing the lurid details of our personal and private night together as evidence of an essential character of depravity, dragging both Sanders and Warren through the mud, taking away all chances of either being elected, even though possibly boosting the ratings of my weekly radio show. The Hillary logo, as noted, is crisp, clear, and simple. It is crisp because it is angular. There are no wishy-washy swirls or curves anywhere in it. Perhaps this element of design is geared to eradicate too many bulbous imperfections evident in the candidate's cherub-like frame. Critics of Hillary's physique point out that in Iowa, it's good she's doing the rounds, not so good that she's being the rounds. Last April, during an onstage appearance in Las Vegas, what was thought to be a protester threw a shoe at Hillary, narrowly missing the squat candidate, but widely hitting the bullseye in the tickled hearts of that red state's base. However, it was later learned that the perpetrator was not so much a thrower, but a pitcher. She was a fashion expert trying to hit home to Clinton and not hit Clinton herself. The idea that whatever shoes the pudgy Hillary wears while espousing her platform, she must always wear platform shoes. But the act, while trying to suggest Hillary elongate her visual appearance, only served to elongate her speech, forcing casino management to bump Cirque du Soleil and cancel the free prime rib offer. If Clinton's orbicular shape has yet to soften the candidate's sharp image and highlight her as someone who can take the edge off, I argue that her logo's 17 corners only serve to give her an even more edgy air. While edgy is a good air to breathe for those who get the points, all 17 of them, it could be toxic for the masses. It would give her an even sharper image. A sharper image is great for selling solar-powered hand-crank cell phone battery chargers, but not for winning elections. Logos sometimes forfeit their clarity for a metaphor, especially when a community tries to make a design into a landmark. Take St. Louis's Gateway Arch. It's an arch, okay, that much is clear. Clear too, but troublesome, is the fact that it's a silver arch, immediately placing St. Louis second to a fast food franchise having not one, but two golden arches. Additionally, St. Louis's arch is called Gateway, tying its name with the long-defunct computer manufacturer, only flirting with success while actually dating bankruptcy. Talk about not clear. What was with Gateway Computers' black and white Holstein cow imagery? Nothing says high tech like a bovine motif, huh? Excuse me for saying, but they doomed themselves to utter failure. The only people who might find St. Louis's Gateway Arch logo clear are black people there, who, because of racist police in this town, of not two but one, not a golden but silver arch, find their living there to warrant their saying, "I'm only half loving it." As for Hillary's logo and clarity, well, it's clearly an H with an arrow. Until her logo was published, an H with an arrow directed injured auto travelers where to turn to reach the ER. Is she trying to say her becoming president is, if not an emergency, at least urgent? Is the H indicative, perhaps, of a great operation featuring a leader who will not pull the plug on needed and healing social programs, but one who might manipulate a contested budget, surgically removing the pork from a bill's barrel belly? Then there are the simple foreboding elements of design that portend trouble to progressives. There are, of course, two colors, red and blue. Each color is equally represented, filling exactly the same spatial area. This suggests equality in numbers and a sense of equitable cooperation. Red, Republicans, and blue, Democrats, willfully coming together to project this H, this Hillary, into the psychic fabric of one unified America. But hold on, my dear gluten-free, non-GMO, corporate-bashing progressive friends and frackivists. The colors in the logo may be equal, but where does the arrow point? To the right. And in accord with the current campaign finance dollar ratio per ideology, among all the edges and corners of the 17, 15 are right angles. Haven't the Kochs, the Popes, and the Adelsons bought enough politicians to promote the right angles? And like a finely brewed pico at a tea party, what color is the right-pointing arrow itself? Red. If we miss all the other 16 angles, we can all at least get that point. No wonder Dems are blue. There's nothing left. Some say the arrow is pointing right simply because we, the people, read from left to right. Others will say having the arrow red is indicative of Hillary's desire to include everyone in the American discussion. On that point, if I were her logo designer, I'd have taken out the arrow and replaced it with a rifle. Having a red arrow might get the Sioux and Navajo vote, but not Republicans. So I remain a bit fearful and suspect she may sell out progressive values to the highest bidders. But ultimately, like so many on the fence afraid to elect a woman to lead this nation, to me the logo's H is a simple plea, a nudge, suggesting, oh, what the hell? TJSavino22@gmail.com.
Should I go to college or not?
What's the best way to advertise my business?
Can I trust my boyfriend to be faithful?
What's the best month for the wedding, May or June?
Will I ever get pregnant?
Who's the best candidate to fill the supervisor's job? May I count on my best pitcher to win this game?
How much should I gamble at the casino?
Do I need to go see the doctor about this condition?
Is Atlanta the right place for me to move?
Should we increase our homeowner's insurance?
If I get the job, will it help our relationship?
Will marital therapy keep us together?
Where should I look for my lost ring?
Will I ever find it? Can I?
Can I?
Should he?
Should he?
Will they?
Will they?
When will?
Will.
Can.
Questions.
Questions. Money.
Love.
French enemies. Mo.
Mo.
Mo. Tibetan divination. I have a question for you. Why not take advantage of this? Take advantage of getting an answer to a question that you've been trying to get to for so long. So write a well-thought-out question. Email it to TJSavino22@gmail.com. TJSavino22@gmail.com. And submit the payment through PayPal that is associated with that account, TJSavino22@gmail.com. And you will get the answer to that question you've been waiting to hear about. TJ Savino at Twitter. Unlike the Mo address, which is TJSavino22@gmail.com, you can reach me at Twitter at TJSavino. TJSavino@Twitter. Please follow me. And sometime during the live show, you could tweet a question, a response, and participate in the interactive nature of Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth, the fine wine of select gripes.
I just got a problem. Impatient people. Airports. Enough. What is going on at the airport? Could we put a dress code at the airport? It looks like a slumber party. Do people care what they look like anymore? They just come out now as is. They must roll out of bed. And then they're at United. What the... I'm not into this. I'm not into casual. I like the 50s, 60s. People dressed up, right? I'm not into this whole casual. You meet these people, I'm comfortable. I don't care what people think of me. As long as I'm comfortable. Yeah? I'm uncomfortable that you're coming. Shower. I'm not into this. It's got to stop. When you go to the airport, when you see the world sees you. And now what we do, we sit down in the plane. And now we look to see what catastrophe that's going to be sitting next to us for 5 hours. Right? I know. And it's never this. It's never these beautiful ladies. I could tell my guy. I could sense it, right? Like he gets on the plane, we make eye contact, like, oh, this is him.
You're on SRN1 at 148.ca/ONE. 148.ca/ONE1 on SRN1. You're listening to Savino Veritas live from Burbank, California on this May 14th, Thursday evening.
The defendant is accused of committing a heinous crime. You gentlemen of the jury are facing a grave responsibility. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, please follow me to the jury
to be the hottest day of the year.
Yep.
Okay, gentlemen, everybody's here. If there's anything you want, I'll be outside. Just knock.
How'd you like it?
I don't know. It's pretty interesting. I've never been on a jury before.
I was falling asleep, but it's a pretty open and shut case, so we should be out of here soon, I think. All right, let's get started.
Okay. Gentlemen, can we take our seats, please?
Yeah, let's do this fast. I got tickets to the Adam Levine-Blake Shelton concert.
They're touring together?
Yeah, it's called the Garbage Dick Tour.
Okay, gentlemen, we could do this one of a couple of ways. We could discuss and then vote, or we could vote right now, see where we stand. Or, you know, we could get in a circle on the floor and give each other shoulder massages. I'm a little tight.
I think it's customary to take a preliminary vote.
Yeah, let's vote. Who knows, maybe we can all go home.
Okay. So it's got to be a 12-0 vote. Either way, that's the law. So, gentlemen, raise your hands, please, if you think that Amy Schumer is not hot enough to be on television. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That's 11 votes for Amy Schumer, not hot enough for television. Can anybody vote in the other way?
Are you kidding me?
I think she might be hot enough.
Boy, oh boy, there's always one.
Golly, that is unexpected.
Hey, and when's lunch?
So I guess I'm gonna miss that Shelton meet and greet that I paid for?
You paid for that.
Hey, so what do we do now?
I guess we talk.
You really think she's attractive?
I don't know.
Let's be reasonable. You sat in that courtroom and saw the same potato face we did for 3 months. Come on.
This isn't complicated. It's just another example of an average-looking chick who watched too much Top Model. Now she thinks she belongs on the cover of F***able magazine. I mean, I was convinced from the first day.
I'm actually not familiar with F***able magazine.
It's metaphoral.
It just means she looks like an uncooked wiener. I was convinced too.
Well, who wasn't? Look, what the heck do you want?
I just want to talk.
I want to ask you something. Would you bang her?
All I'm saying is it's not easy for me to raise my hand and end a girl's life without talking about it first.
Oh, what do you mean, end her life?
Well, her appearance. So her life.
It's an undisputed fact that a woman's value is mostly determined by her looks.
As it should be.
What do you think we'll get for lunch? Hot dogs?
That's true. Look at Susan Boyle, right? Voice of an angel, but because she looks like an 18th century paper boy, we treat her like toilet shoes.
Come on!
Can't we just vote and get this over with? Blake's probably in the middle of singing Hillbilly Bone right now.
All right, gentlemen, we should probably remind ourselves at this point that today's vote decides if Amy Schumer is hot enough to be on the television. If we decide that she is not bangable, then she's going to lose her television show or be put to immediate death, or both. I zoned out during that part. Look, I'm just saying I'm undecided is all. I'm open to the idea, but I want to be convinced. So maybe you all who seem so certain could try to convince me.
Oh, I don't know. When I was her age, girls felt lucky if you just winked at them and let them make your tuna melt.
Hear, hear.
Now they all think they deserve TV shows. You got Mindy Nightmare and the Lena Girl Holocaust Hour. Let me ask you a question. Where's Megan Fox's talk show?
I'd see a Kate Upton sitcom.
Okay, but are those girls funny?
Well, no women are funny. But, you know, if you have to hear them blab, they better at least be hot.
Thank you. But they're not going to get shows. You know why? There's no room left. All the slots have been taken by these manatees. Now this Amy Schumer's gonna be in a movie? I mean, we gotta stop this.
A movie?
That's too much. She's starring in it?
I definitely don't think she's protagonist hot.
But Kevin James is.
I don't need to think about f***ing him. That's why they hire hot chicks to stand around him while he's talking.
I thoroughly enjoyed Here Comes the Boom.
Maybe she doesn't have to not be on TV at all. You know, maybe she could play somebody like a wacky neighbor or a divorced obese woman with a funny dog.
Look, the point is, the more she's out there flaunting that chipmunk face, the more her type becomes acceptable.
Yeah, people get confused. It could throw the standard off for shows everywhere.
Yeah, they'll be thinking that quirky-looking dump trucks are okay to broadcast all over the dial. We can't let her do that.
Less Melissa McCarthy and more Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, she's the funny one.
Remember when she convinced us not to vaccinate our kids against easily preventable diseases? That was hilarious.
You know, I was in my prime in the 70s. And everybody had a shit body. Every woman looked f***able. We were all hairy and sweaty, and we screwed all the time. It wasn't so bad.
I will say this. When I was a child in my country watching Facts of Life, sometimes I would pleasure myself after the not hot one. I didn't even like the hot one. What was her name?
Blair.
Natalie.
Blair.
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 Blair. Blair.
Wait, did you say Natalie?
Obviously. Not Natalie. Natalie? Come on. F*** you guys!
I always thought Miss Garrett had a certain je ne sais quoi.
Clearly, it's subjective. I'm a Jill guy.
Ooh, I forgot about Joe.
She would break you in two.
Look, we've all at some point in our lives gotten a semi for a girl with a pillowy stomach or Muppet tits. And that's all the system demands for us to acquit Amy. Does she give us a reasonable chub?
Not me.
I want to call for a vote by secret ballot. I'll abstain. If there are still 11 votes against her, then we'll make it a guilty verdict and call it a day. If anyone votes hot enough, we'll stay and talk this thing out.
I like the sound of that. Here, Pat, take one, pass these around.
Bang. Not hot. No. No. Also, f*** you guys. Natalie is hot. I think this is just a picture of Blake Shelton.
Oh, that's a no.
And finally, hot enough.
Somebody's changed their vote to Amy Schumer is hot enough.
Adam Levine just sang moves like Jagger with his shirt off. Come on!
So somebody's changed their vote to Amy Schumer is hot enough for TV.
All right, who is it?
Come on! I want to know who's wasting our time!
Hey, we agreed to a secret ballot, okay?
It was you, wasn't it?
Makes sense. Where you come from, they worship elephants.
We don't worship elephants. One of our gods has an elephant face. And a human body!
His body is human!
He's not a human body!
It was me. Would you like to know why? I think she'd be grateful to get a slip of the old prosciutto. It'd be a turn-on. You get a tight little number like Angela Lansbury, she'd just lay there entitled. Schumer'd probably work for it.
The dying man is right. Desperate girl like that'll just beg you for it.
I see his point. What plumps my Frank is when a girl can't do better than me.
Right, like when they're accessible.
Like Rosario Dawson.
Or Jennifer Aniston.
She would shatter you in half.
Can we talk about facts, please? You're all talking about opinions, but there are facts that tell us definitively that this woman is objectively not appealing.
Yes, let's talk about facts.
I'll give you a fact. She's a filthy whoremouth. Just look at her stand-up set list. When a woman talks like a sailor, that's not hot. It's unnatural. Just look at the words she uses to remember her so-called jokes. Look at this. Reversible condoms. Boner souffle. Pine cone pussy.
Yeah, that's only three, but there are about 30 words on here that have nothing to do with sex. First dates, airports, Obama Muslim, see?
Plus, just because she talks about sex doesn't mean she sleeps around.
Well, then she's worse than a whore. She's a tease. Clowning around up on stage, yapping about her clam without using it.
Exactly. Why else would she have that dildo they found in her green room? Hmm? You tell me that, that supposedly hot and f***able girl, huh? The one she bought that was the size of a midget's fist? Why do you need one of those if guys want to f*** you? Let's talk about that!
All right, let's talk about it. Let's get it in here and take a look at it.
You want to see the dildo? He wants to see the dildo. He's going to see the dildo.
We all know what it looks like.
But what are we going to get from seeing it again? I'm sick of it. I've seen it 10 times. I'm sick of it.
The gentleman has a right to see the exhibits in evidence.
Dildo is pretty good evidence. No one will pork her.
God, it looks like a femur.
I mean, why even make those things? Women don't need orgasms. That's science.
Lots of people have them. I have one.
Hey, what's the big idea?
What are you playing at?
Oh, bother.
It's my wife's. She doesn't use it because she's alone. Quite the opposite, actually. We use it, and we love it.
You must be hung like a hamster.
I am perfectly average.
And I have a donkey dick. Hey, let's take another vote. If anybody thinks that Amy Schumer shouldn't be on the TV because she's not hot enough for whatever reason, raise your hands. And those who think that she is hot enough?
You're on board with the Toad now?
I wanted to f*** Natalie from Facts of Life. I did. I wanted to f*** her, and I wanted to fall asleep with my head on her stomach. And Amy is hotter than Natalie. So, I'm sorry. But I'd f*** both of them.
And I want to f*** Blake Shelton. Has the world gone mad? This girl thinks she deserves to be on camera? She's not a 10!
Maybe you're not a 10 either.
You bad!
You really mean that? Do you really want to me? Or are you just being a tease?
So you just carry that around wherever you go? In case a dildo-based argument breaks out?
Now voted 16 more times. And the vote now stands at 9-3. In favor of Amy Schumer is hot enough. So we're kind of in a pickle here.
I'm willing to listen to your arguments. I just still don't have a reasonable chub. And honestly, I'm losing faith that you're going to be able to convince me to have one.
Do you wear your glasses when you watch television at night? Like, when you're in bed, before you go to sleep?
Not always. Why?
Do we really need to look at her again? She's built like a lineman, and she has cabbage patch-like features. Her ass makes me furious.
She's just sitting there like an asshole.
And her mouth. It's so small. How does a girl get so big with a mouth that small?
How far away is your TV from your bed?
I'd say about 10 feet.
Okay. I'm going to measure out 10 feet.
Oh, for crying out loud. This is a circus.
9, 10. Take a look at her now. What do you think?
Pass.
Okay, fine. Take your glasses off. When you're in bed, do you drink?
Every night until I black out. What of it?
Yeah, what of it?
So you're laying in bed drunk. You don't have your glasses on, so some of her flaws are softened.
Correct.
So you're just seeing a general blondness. And legs and boobs and presumably a vagina.
Presumably.
If you left your glasses off, isn't it possible you would consider at least a few exploratory tugs?
I would. I have a reasonable chub. Excuse me.
This doesn't mean anything. I get perfect eyesight. She never stops looking like John C. Reilly at me.
Why can't we have Marilyn Monroe back, huh?
Do you know what size Marilyn Monroe was? She was an 8.
So?
Amy's a 6.
I don't give a damn.
Do you have a reasonable chub?
Get out of my face!
You have a reasonable chub.
No!
Let's see it. Perfect.
He does.
That's a chub.
It's a full chub.
God help me.
Am I the only one thinking with his dick? Just look at her. This isn't someone I'd want to see come out of a bathroom at Penn Station, let alone on my TV in my home. What, because they can tell a joke? They think that's going to make you forget they have an ass on them like a mom with disability? Huh? Oh, because she's a little charming and insightful? And her hair smells like apple pie? You're going to secretly fall in love with her? And ask her to prom. And you're gonna turn me down? You fucking bitch, Tanya! Why didn't you like me back? Why?
Right. You can be on TV and bang her. Basic cable.
Okay, gentlemen. Gather your coats and come along with me.
Oh, Your Honor.
Oh, Amy. I didn't see you there. I thought you were a garden gnome. Well, the verdict is in. The jury agreed that they would ban you.
Yes.
You're hot enough for basic cable television.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you so much.
Well, wait a minute. Where are you going? They've all left.
I'm going to get my dildo.
I'd give that ass a 4.
You should see.
Do you ever see 12 Angry Men?
No.
Have you heard of it?
Yes.
Good enough. Do you ever see 12 Angry Men?
Yeah, I heard the play.
Do you think people want to see a remake of a 50s play? Because we told Comedy Central that the answer was yes. Do you ever see 12 Angry Men?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to see like a remake of that?
No.
Shut up!
Who's your favorite girl on Facts of Life?
Natalie?
All right. Manny stands in his power. Do you think that you have to be hot to be on TV?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Who's the hottest woman on TV?
Sofia Vergara?
Sofia Vergara, Modern Family woman.
Sofia Vergara and her accent, her boobs.
Do you think she's funny?
Not entirely, no.
Okay. But you're happy when you see her come on screen?
Yes.
Would you watch a talk show if it were hosted by Kate Upton?
I mean, yeah, for Kate Upton.
Kate Middleton?
Yeah.
Mary Kate Olsen?
No.
+8.
I have no idea what that is.
What are we gonna get?
Can we see the dildo over this? Frightened me.
It's my
order. You're hot enough for basic cable television.
But I was on trial for vehicular manslaughter.
Let's talk about it. Can you give me one of those?
No, right. What about that?
She's built like a lineman and she has cabbage patch like features. Her ass makes me furious. She's sitting there like an asshole.
And then there's her mouth.
Keep going, I'm fine.
So easy.
Magic.
Just a Ram 1500 EcoDiesel that gets the best fuel economy of any half-ton pickup. Get more facts at ramtrucks.com. Wow.
We're here at the Samuel Adams Brewery, tasting our West Coast Hop Rebel IPA.
Smooth.
It's very crisp.
Nice hop flavor.
It's just really good.
Rebel IPA gets it just right.
Also, try new Rebel Rider, our Session IPA, and Rebel Rouser, our Double IPA.
We have to stop the sale of a nuclear bomb.
The average in America, is it that, or that's bigger than average, right? Mm-hmm. I'll Google it.
I'm gonna read you some Tinder pickup lines that I've been getting. Are you fertile? I need a favor. Ew! That's disgusting.
Do you like the Backstreet Boys? Because my penis is larger than life.
If I flip a coin, what are the odds that I'll get head?
Damn, girl, you make me want to knit both of us matching sweaters. Lame.
I lost my teddy bear. Will you sleep with me?
I use pizza in the bedroom. Well, I like your style. That sounds exciting.
You look like the girl who always dies first in horror movies. Come on.
I have a job for you, but it blows.
I have a job for you, but it blows?
My dick's been feeling a little dead lately. Want to give it some mouth to mouth?
Listen, I'm not here to put boots on caterpillars. Do you want to f***?
Roses are red, violets are fine. You be the 6 and I'll be the 9.
You smell like trash. May I take you out?
Your ass is so nice that it is a shame that you have to sit on it.
I like your bangs and your boobs, so I guess I should bang your boobs. What's up? I'm Nick.
Can I use your thighs as earmuffs? Yes. Yes, you can. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Are you DTF with me? People still say that. Hi, can I be your slave? I mean, duh.
How would you feel about f***ing in a public place? Like it was a rites of passage ceremony in an African village while the whole tribe cheers and watches, including your family, who I just gave a goat to in exchange for you.
Were you born on a farm because you really know how to raise a cock?
Oh, no, I can't even read this out loud. No way.
You're by far the sexiest Asian girl I've ever seen.
You look like a female version of Nicolas Cage.
Awkward. Will you fart in a jar and send it to me? That's disgusting. Who would say that?
I would brush my teeth with you. You want to be sex friends? Maybe.
Can I lick Nutella off of you? That would work. I'd be down.
I would definitely f*** you sober. Damn Skippy.
Can I Snapchat you pictures of my f*** now? No, never, ever, in a million years, 100% f*** no.
Sit on my face and I'll eat my way to your heart. All right, well.
Damn girl, you look like you got a Mad Vagina Game winner. This guy's smart.
And you're listening to Sabino Veritas live from Burbank, California, land of make-believe and fantasy. And now it's time for some reality in Canada. So we'll break for the news now. Local news in Canada with Phil Hong.
Good evening, Tom. A wanted Georgina man is in custody. Kyle Kohler, age 26, was located in Keswick and charged with a number of offenses, including assault. Bradford Street in East Gwillimbury will close for 2 months. The closure from Holland Landing Road to Olive Street is due to a wider effort to bring sanitary service into town. And costs of a regional homeless assistance program have gone down by more than half. A York Region official claims that the 61% drop in costs is due to a revamp in the program. Warmer, Pearson 23, North 24. This update is brought to you by Frank Atola, 1148.ca. Tips to innovate your business. Frank has 3 at 1148.ca/Frank. I'm Philip Hong from SRN National News. Now back to Tom Savino with Savino Veritas on SRN 1.
Thank you, Phil, for giving us the news from the SRN newsroom in Canada.
Are you tired of people dying around you at your favorite Italian restaurant? Well, worry no more. And forget about it, restaurant. Forget about it. Hey, the gang of Forget About It has found the ultimate silencer and non-bloody assassinations. Hey, you never have to worry about loud sounds, gunfire, people falling over you, bloody people on top of you. Because of the boys that Forget About It have discovered a new way, a silent way of killing. For their assassination victims, they serve them Ebola spaghetti or Ebola spaghetti and meatballs. And the victims, they die silently in the bathroom. You got somebody you want out of your hair? Hey, Forget About It. Get him a gift certificate at Forget About It. But make sure you specify they try Ebola spaghetti or Ebola spaghetti and meatball or Ebola macaroni. Ebola spaghetti. No gluten-free.
You're listening to Tom Savino on Savino Veritas live from Burbank, California, this Thursday and every Thursday, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and all the other times in between and spilling over and internationally. You can hear us at right here at 148.ca/1 or 24/7 archived on the Too Cool for School website, Juice Talk.
It's here. That democracy we've been waiting to get our hands on. Introducing the new City Bill, the bill by bankers for bankers. Sure, it's a regular last-minute budget bill that just barely keeps the government from shutting down, but it's also your ticket to financial freedom. Here at Citigroup, we know financial reform is about as appealing as testifying before Congress on subprime mortgages. That's why City Bill dismantles reform bit by socialist bit. Once again, you'll be able to revel in the most complex derivative schemes your creative mind can dream up, all with the security of knowing American taxpayers have got your back in the highly unlikely event you fail. After all, 2008 was over 100 years ago. There's a reason banks like us just spent more than $1.2 billion to lobby and develop Citibill. We control over 90% of the $700 trillion derivatives market. So let your imagination run wild. Credit default swaps, frog-backed securities, unicorn dander derivatives, the choice is yours. Wherever your feverish financial mind takes you, with the new Citibill, you've got democracy by bankers for bankers. Past performance is a pretty good guarantee of future results.
General Mills.
Yes, this is General Mills.
Yes, how may I generally help you, sir?
Yeah, I was out shopping for your blueberry pomegranate cereal. You know, Total? The Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal?
Yes, sir. Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal. Yes, sir.
That's right. I was reading the ingredients list, and I noticed that there's no blueberries in the ingredients list, and there's no blueberries, and there's no pomegranates in the cereal either.
Okay, sir, so you're saying there's no blueberries in the cereal, then is that it, sir?
That's right, there's no blueberries in the blueberry cereal.
How is that our problem, sir? Our cereals are labeled in accordance with federal law.
Well, I thought that if it's called blueberry pomegranate cereal, then maybe there's going to be blueberries and pomegranates in the cereal.
No, no, sir, that's not correct. It's only a name. It's named Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal, but that does not mean it contains blueberries and pomegranates.
It doesn't?
No, sir. You might have tires on a vehicle named Firestone. It doesn't mean they contain fire.
Well, what does it mean, then, when it says blueberry pomegranate?
Well, sir, it means that we help you imagine blueberries and pomegranates when you're eating our cereal.
Well, what if I don't have a very good imagination, then?
Well, sir, that's what the artificial color is for, to help you along, to present the illusion of blueberries and pomegranates, to kind of nudge along unimaginative consumers, you see?
So I'm supposed to imagine that I'm eating blueberries and pomegranates when I'm eating your cereal, even though they contain no blueberries and pomegranates?
Yes, sir, that's what we all do. We imagine we're eating highly nutritious, delicious blueberry pomegranate cereal. That's why we call it Total. It requires your total imagination and focus to achieve the illusion.
But what if I want to eat blueberries and pomegranates in my cereal?
Well, sir, then you should purchase them like everyone else and put them in the cereal yourself.
But I thought you put them in your cereal. That's why I bought Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal.
No, sir, we don't put blueberries in the cereal and there's no fire in your tires. We've already covered this.
I want my money back.
He wants his money back.
Yes, I want my money back.
Did you eat any of the cereal?
I only ate the blueberries.
Well, sir, if you've eaten the blueberries, we cannot give you your money back because you've used the product.
But there are no blueberries in Total Blueberry Pomegranate. I've only used my imagination.
Yes, sir, but that's what we're selling, you see. If you've used your imagination, you've used the product.
But I haven't even opened the product.
Well, I imagine you have.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
No, no, I haven't.
Yes, yes, you have.
No,
yes,
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 no,
yes, yes,
no,
you have.
No, I haven't.
Sir, you're being unreasonable.
I just want my money back for the cereal I didn't eat that I bought for the blueberries it doesn't have.
Well, now you're just being difficult. But I tell you what, I'll imagine that I'll mail you a refund check in 7 to 10 days.
You're going to mail me a refund check?
I imagine I will.
Are you really mailing me a refund check, or are you just imagining that you're mailing me a refund check?
I'm saying that I will mail you a refund check for the total amount minus the imagination portion you've already used.
What's the total?
That's the cereal.
No, I mean, how much is the check for?
It's for all of it.
All of what?
All of the refund check that I imagine General Mills will be sending you.
But when I get the refund check, what will it say?
It will say this is for the total.
And how much is that?
How much did you pay for the cereal, sir?
$4.75.
All right, then. Now, given that 80% of what we're selling in total blueberry pomegranate cereal is imagination, and you've already used the imagination portion, we shall be refunding you, let's see, 95 cents.
95 cents?
Yes, sir. And will you take it as a coupon?
What's it good on?
Any General Mills product whatsoever. Use your imagination.
Stephen Colbert.
Welcome to Report, everybody. Welcome to Report. Good to have you with us. Thank you so much, everybody, in here, there, all around the world, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea. Thank you so much for being here, Nation. Today, of course, check your calendars. The first Monday in October, the start of the Supreme Court's new session, and I am pumped to the gavels. It's like the start of the football season, only unlike the NFL, these players actually go to court. And right here on day one, the court's already decided on a huge non-decision.
The Supreme Court has said it will not hear any of the 7 same-sex marriage cases that were filed over the summer. Now, the lower court rulings stand.
In most of these jurisdictions now, same-sex marriage will be de facto legal.
Now we are in a situation where 30 states have same-sex marriage. Approximately 60% of the American people live in a state with same-sex marriage. The momentum, when you have that many people living in a world where same-sex marriage is legal, makes it inevitable, it seems, that the rest of the country will follow.
Inevitable that the rest of the country will follow. Well, I guess that's it. I'd like to thank my wife, Lorraine, for 25 good years. What can I say? We gave it a good shot, honey. I was just about to get a photo of you. And, of course, I'd like to welcome my new government-mandated life partner, Roger Cornsworth. Raj and I are registered at Restoration Hardware. We're doing our entire living room in hammered stainless steel. But for now, folks, let's talk about the cases that the court has graciously agreed to hear, specifically how they will be arriving at their decisions. I read all about it in the Virginia Law Review. I'm a longtime subscriber. I use it to hide my hustlers. Now, the article in here was by William and Mary School of Law professor Allison Orr Larson. In it, Allison or Larson, not sure which one it was, blows the lid off the Supreme Court's reliance on something called amicus curiae, or friend of the court briefs, informational documents written by third parties who are not involved in the situation, whose opinion was not sought, but still want some say in the decision. It's the legal equivalent of grandparents. And you don't have to be some established expert to influence the court. For instance, in a 2013 decision, Justice Stephen G. Breyer cited an amicus brief to establish that American libraries hold 200 million books that were published abroad. The figure came from a blog post, the blog has been discontinued. Well, so what if it's discontinued? I get all of my legal research from Cash GeoCities pages from the 1990s. That's how I know. That's how I know it is my constitutional right to get jiggy with Gillian Anderson. And in Carhartt v. Gonzalez, Justice Kennedy wrote that women who get abortions can suffer severe depression and loss of self-esteem, quoting an amicus brief citing the work of Dr. David Reardon, who is an electrical engineer who holds a PhD in bioethics from an unaccredited and now non-existent school in Hawaii. Well, folks, I say its lack of existence is irrelevant, and I have a doctorate in existential philosophy from the University of Narnia Online. And these are not isolated incidents. According to Larson, the number of amicus curiae briefs filed at the Supreme Court is at an all-time high. From 2008 to 2013, the court's opinion cited factual assertions from amicus briefs 124 times. Well, as a wise man once said, there's nothing wrong with quoting someone who doesn't know what they're talking about. You know who said that? I did. But I say, why limit the court to amicus briefs when there's so many sources for unverified facts? I mean, what about Snapple caps? Your Honor, Alabama seeks a precedent in its ability to redraw congressional voting districts because emus can't walk backwards. Clearly. Tastes like the truth.
Now, let me see. What is it you call your job? Oh, yes, public relations. Sounds like something pretty dirty to me.
I can answer none of your questions at this time.
It's never ending, your bullshit. I can't listen to any more of this. What's the matter with you people? How can you sit here and talk and talk and talk like this?
Well, conservatives have done it again. They have found the culprit here. It is, of course, shocking, Obama, okay? And what has he done this time? No, not a war on Christmas. A war on donuts and sprinkles and all that is delicious in the world. Okay. Now, how's he doing it? He's doing it through the FDA, according to Breitbart. Now, Fox News is going to get involved. Oh, those goofballs are good. We'll show you that in a second. But first, Breitbart gets this party started a couple of days ago. They say, although the amount of trans fats Americans consume has declined significantly in recent years, the FDA's request to completely eliminate a particular type of trans fat threatens to eliminate the noble sprinkle used to decorate holiday treats and donuts. Even a small amount of joy is suspect in the FDA's brave new food-monitored world. Okay, now this is awesome in several different ways. First of all, the FDA made this decision about a year ago. Why is it back in the news now? Because they're trying to take the sprinkles out of the holiday season. Second of all, I like how they say, you know, the trans fat has nearly been eliminated already, so why is the FDA bothering? Because it was the FDA effort to eliminate trans fat in the first place that almost solved the problem. And then now they're trying to solve it completely. And they're not banning donuts or sprinkles. They're saying take the trans fat out of them, which most companies have done anyway, including the sprinkle company. In fact, Polar Corporation has already removed trans fats from its line of sprinkles by using a non-hydrogenated palm oil. Now, of course, the facts have never gotten in the way of the right wing before. And finally, before we show you Fox News weighing in on this, let's go to the facts on how much this helps Americans. It's true that the FDA took steps in 2013, not 2014, to phase out the sale of artificial trans fats. And the Center for Disease Control estimates that moving forward with a complete ban could prevent as many as 7,000 deaths and 20,000 coronary events each year. Okay, yeah, but, you know, heart attacks, that's what right-wing calls freedom. Okay. Now, again, nobody's banning any of these foods. The total lie. Okay? They're trying to take the trans fats out of the foods, and they have almost completely succeeded to the great health and benefit of the American people. So having said that, let's go to Fox News.
Well, get ready to say goodbye to your favorite sprinkled donuts like these. The senator and I already ate one this morning. They're delicious. We feel fantastic. But that is because the FDA has anything to do with it. They're getting rid of donuts like these. Enjoy some sprinkles while they're still around.
Oh, my God, the FDA, they're taking our donuts away. God, these guys are unbelievable, man. Look, we should look at these lovely donuts we're showing you. Okay. What they're trying to do is appeal to the emotion of their audience, which is, we're going to protect Christmas. There's a war on Christmas from those sons of bitches. Now there's a war on these beloved American donuts. What have they done to us? Right? Facts are collateral damage. Okay? So more.
Here's some other items that have small amounts of trans fats in them. Here, take a look at your screen. Some crackers, some frozen pizzas, popcorn, even coffee creamers, canned frosting. If you're making some cookies once a year with your kids on the holidays, that'll be banned.
I just made cookies with my kids. It wasn't banned. Obama didn't bust in with stormtroopers being like, are you guys, what is this? Are you guys using sprinkles? They tackle my four-year-old handcuff. No, none of that is true. And I like how they made that list, like popcorn. He's going to get rid of popcorn and coffee and pizza. We told you he was Kenyan. Okay, one more.
You know, what I was also saying to people is, look, you're just not responsible, right? If you think you can't eat one of these every day and you know that you're going to have some other kind of health issues, if you're eating donuts, that's your main part of your diet, you're probably going to have some issues. What the government is saying is, look, you're not responsible for your own health, so we're going to make sure we're going to step in and be responsible for you. Is that what they're saying?
You know, that's really not much respect for the citizens' choices. And if they're willing to ban those small decisions, you know, what kind of respect will they give citizens in the larger decisions in our lives about where to work or where to live or some of the things that really matter to us?
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, no. At first, they came for the donuts, and I said nothing. And then they told me that I couldn't work at a certain place. Why would they do that? And then they told me where I could live. And, you know, you might be thinking, what is that lunacy about? That's actually a specific conspiracy theory that the right wing believes. That Project 21, which is a UN initiative, is going to force us into hobbit homes. Ted Cruz had that on his website. United States Senator Joni Ernst believes that, now a United States Senator. So that's the little reference. The next thing you know, they're going to tell us where to live. In the Shire. Okay. And my second favorite part of that last clip was whoever that goofball is on Fox News holding up the donut the whole time. Like, you see this? You see this? They're not going to let you have this anymore. Look, you want it? You want it? Vote against Democrats. Otherwise, I'm going to take it away. Okay. Oh, you like it? Here, take it. Oh, yeah, you like that? Well, I knew you'd like it, you bad boy. Keep watching Fox News. Goddamn Obama. Taking away sprinkles. Thanks, Obama. And ironically, their audience eats that up. They're like, these lies are so yummy for my tummy.
So what you've gotten around people's tables or around holiday time is then they go, you know, son, these sprinkles you're having, this is the last year we're going to have them. I heard on Fox News. And then they'll say it with so much confidence. And like, I heard the facts on television. Next year, it's not going to happen. And they'll forget by June of 2015 that they said that stupidity. When next year, they do have the sprinkles. They do have their holiday snacks.
So, JR, you're 100% right. I'll now make two predictions that are you could write down in stone because they're definitely going to happen. Okay, someone you know at some point is going to tell you, you know they're going to take away sprinkles and donuts. You know that, right? It's got to be some uncle, as he's likely to be drunk, but it's somebody. Somebody you know is going to cite this as a fact. JR is 100% right. It happens to me all the time, and not on political stuff. People that don't know that I do this show, they're like, oh, you know, that he's actually from Kenya. I'm like, oh, God damn it. All right, so this will catch on. But then the second part is that several years from now, Bill O'Reilly will come out and say, we won the war on sprinkles. And since we won the war and we beat back Obama and the Democrats, you can have sprinkles again. But we could have sprinkles the whole time. That's right. We won.
Energy. Energy is no game. It's a vital part of our economy. But what if it was a game? We'd be A-Rod strapped to LeBron's back being thrown downfield by Tom Brady. Because we have only 5% of the world's population, yet we use 20% of the energy. We're beating expectations by 400%, according to my diesel-powered calculator. The point is, America is winning energy. If you watch TV, and I pray you do, you know that our nation's biggest potential employer is America's oil and gas producers. The reason you know that is a series of powerful energy ads which prove that the way to get this nation back on track is through coal mining, oil drilling, drill mining, coal oiling, oil milling, drill coaling, and droil milling. So here with more on the exciting opportunities provided by America's oil and gas producers is the attractively authoritative yet approachable woman from those ads. The following is a paid advertisement.
Thanks, Stephen. Big fan of you and your work on The Stephen Colbert Show. In today's energy economy, Americans are looking for real solutions, and America's oil and gas producers can bring those solutions today and all of tomorrow's todays tonight. And you can trust me because I'm speaking with a clear and soothing tone of voice. I'm speaking slowly so you know that what I'm saying is true. We are today's energy companies, not your dad's energy company, the one which existed in a statistically corollary but not proven to be causal relationship with his emphysema. We are forward-thinking, positive, and make generous use of uplifting background music because it connotes cleanliness. The fact is, America has some of the greatest energy resources on Earth, which, according to our guessologists' objections, if used in combination with technology yet to be invented or imagined, could sustain us for the next 6,000 years. Do you think any other country has those advantages? Think again. Then, think again about today's energy companies today. Also, jobs. Did you know that in terms of raw supply, the United States is the Saudi Arabia of coal? Or that we're the equivalent of two Saudi Arabias of natural gas? Without our reliance on fossil fuels, we would suddenly find ourselves the Saudi Arabia of not comparing ourselves to Saudi Arabia. Then where would we be? That's why we need an all-of-the-above approach to energy. That means exploiting yesterday's oil and gas reserves today, while exploring for tomorrow's energy of the future now. And that approach depends on policies like approving the Keystone XL pipeline to bring either 800,000 or a different big number barrels of safe, polite Canadian oil to American refineries. This pipeline would significantly jobs America's energy, power, security, safety. It's common sense. So join us, and together we can work together to secure America's energy future and create jobs together. That's why, right here in America, today's energy companies have already begun to jobs tomorrow's energy by leveraging innovation and pioneers we've technologied. Clean future and jobs can work all of the above energy policy future now, as well as future jobs and energy job. Energy future policy jobs. And together the jobs we need to jobs our country forward towards a sunnier and jobbier energy job future. Won't you join us? Job.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening to Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, the fine wine of Select Gripes. Join us next week and every Thursday live, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and all the other times in between right here on SRN 1. And you can listen 24/7 to archive shows at JuiceTalk.com. Take care. See you next time.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
Now, that-
that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.